Blog Talk Radio.
Viewer discretion is advised.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am your host, Troy Granville, and this is Sports Underline. Today's show, I have a special guest with me, Dan Steve. Devontae Little will return with tomorrow on Friday. How you doing, Aaron?
What's up, bro?
Not much. Just ready to go ahead and talk some sports. Now, I decided to do the show today. I was kind of pissed off last night at the game that I saw, but I said, hey, I'm not going to let that affect me too much where I can't do the show, and I also didn't know what time I was going to be getting off work today. But everything works out. We're here today. So let's talk. Game 3 of the NBA Finals belongs to the Golden State Warriors. The Cavaliers find themselves on familiar ground. As you remember last year, Kevin Durant shot a dagger in the heart of Cleveland fans around the world, as he did last night. Damn near same position as well. With that being said, a lot of people are looking to throw the blame somewhere. A lot of people are talking about his teammates, the coaching staff, and, of course, LeBron James himself. What did you take away from Game 3?
Oh, man. I guess I could say a lot of Kevin Durant, man. The Cleveland Cavaliers should be up 2-1 right now. They lost Game 1 on their own, and then last night with Steph and Klay playing like they played, it was their game for the taking, man. They didn't do what they were supposed to do, man.
Well, I will say this. I agree with you that the Cleveland Cavaliers should be up 2-1. As you mentioned, they fumbled Game 1 away. They beat themselves. Game 2, you would expect Golden State to bounce back. But Game 3 is when you're on your own home ground. All you have to do is take care of business at home. And now we're heading into a Game 4, which could possibly lead to a sweep if the Cavaliers continue to play the way they have the past two games going into Game 4, and giving Golden State the title. With that being said, I'm going to, you know, kind of go on a little rant here and air my frustrations out. I mean, the Cavaliers did lose 110-102, and I felt like this game was very winnable. You had everything you could ask for. You know, LeBron James, despite the triple-double, did not shoot well from three-point range and did not take the task of guarding Kevin Durant in clutch moments as I thought he would. He was always picked off by Iguodala or David West and left George Hill and Rodney Hood to guard Kevin Durant. No double teams were thrown at him. You mentioned a horrible night that Stephen Curry and Klay Thompson had, both only putting up 10 points. Shot horrible from the field, 4 of 11 from Thompson. 3 of 16 from Curry, yet Curry hit the 1-3 that mattered the most on a blown defensive coverage. Both guys just ran past him and left one of the dangerous shooters in the NBA open. And I don't care how many shots he missed, he's that wide open, he's not going to miss it. But with that being said, LeBron James did post a low triple-double, 33 points, 10 rebounds, 11 assists. However, he had some crucial turnovers in this game. Kevin Love has averaged 20-10 against the Warriors throughout the season and throughout this series. He's done his job. Could he step up and do a little more? Of course. But it always doesn't work out that way. Rodney Hood actually used the time that Ty Lue gave him to his advantage, posting 15 points off the bench, go along with 6 rebounds, shooting 7 of 11 from the field. You had what you wanted. J.R. Smith scored 13. Kevin Love pours in 20. LeBron James, 33. Rodney Hood, 15. Kyle Korver still scoreless in this series. George Hill, not very aggressive, still playing good defense, though. 5 points, and Tristan Thompson is going to do the dirty work. Him and Draymond Green getting into it, getting double technicals. You knew this game was going to get chippy. It's going to get chippy in Game 4 as well, seeing as how it's an elimination game. But I just can't help but feeling that these guys have gave up in Game 3, and I don't know why. They've defended the third quarter pretty damn well against this Golden State team, who gets their kicks out of going off in the third quarter. And I say they played them pretty close and very well. It's about as good as you can play these guys. and not being able to capitalize is just sickening. I mean, you led this damn near the whole game, leading into the half, and lost the lead, what, maybe in the middle or maybe in the middle of the third quarter when Golden State went on their run. And after that, they kind of just rocked these guys to bed. Kevin Durant was a monster. I mean, with Klay and Steph going through the struggle, he picked up the slack, and he really just went at these guys. 43-13 with 7 assists, damn near a triple-double. I mean, he was not getting double-teamed. He was not getting forced to make other guys beat him. The Golden State Warriors distributed the ball pretty well. Draymond Green, 10 points. Iguodala in his debut game back put up 8 points along with Sean Livingston. Jordan Bell had 10. Even JaVale McGee scored in double digits with 10 points and continued to kill them in the pick and roll. What this says about this Cleveland Cavaliers team is that they just do not have enough. I think this game or this series was lost in game one where they fumbled that game that should have been theirs. I don't know how to feel. Going into game four, everybody's already talked about bring out the brooms. That is a sweep. You hear KD talk about he don't want to play with the basketball guy, that they need this sweep. Definitely don't want to give any Cleveland fans or the rest of the NBA any hope with these guys down 3-1, thinking it's going to be some type of miracle. He wants to put them to rest. And that's the mindset that you should have. Cleveland should be up 2-1 right now. And the fact that they're not is just sickening. It's sad. And I can sit up here and I can blame his teammates. I can blame Tyronn Lue. I can blame LeBron James. But the matter of the fact is, this bully ball that LeBron James has been playing by himself is not going to help him. As you can see, the reason the Cavs are struggling, or maybe this proves, this is just my theory. But LeBron James, I've been talking to Devontae Thomas and a couple other guys today, and we were discussing this style of basketball LeBron James plays. It's a one-man show. Coaching, management, they don't do anything to change it. The players that they bring in aren't even allowed to be themselves. The first player we got that we've seen that actually to be himself in this system is Rodney Hood. That's the way he played. He goes out, he gets his buckets, he gets his points. J.R. Smith is untamed. He pretty much does what he wants. Kevin Love has failed back since he came to the Cleveland Cavaliers. This system that they have of let LeBron do it all, like you complain that he doesn't have help, but when you bring in help, you don't utilize those players. It's still, let's ride the back of LeBron James. I'll make the game easier for you. Yeah, it starts to work, but it's too easy to figure out. If we can let you do what you want and stop everybody else, that's fine with them. They're still going to blow you out. And people don't understand or see this. They have to change the system. LeBron James doesn't have to have the ball in his hand all the time. Something has to change, Aaron. It really does. I mean, how do you feel about that?
I mean, it's somewhat true, but then you got guys like Kyle Korver who get set up in wide open shots and can't hit them. Just like the other night when they was 2-for-19 on open shots. Or like Kyle Korver, he's a defensive liability, so you can't have him out there. Yeah, Rodney Hood played good, but that was just his first time playing good. We saw him in a regular season have struggles. We saw him in the first round against the Pacers have struggles. So that was like an experiment. Maybe he'll get more playing time in the future. It is what it is. I don't see nobody on that team that can make their own shot besides Rodney Hood.
I'm looking at the coaching staff and the way this team was constructed. It's basically the same old drive and kick method. You surround LeBron James with shooters. Of course, he's going to draw the double team. Or maybe he gets single coverage and able to finish at the rim. If his jump shot is working, which it was not last night, he's going to myrtleize you from inside out. He's going to find his teammates. We know the drill. It's too easy to defend and guard. This drive and kick out, you're saying you don't see anybody else on this roster that can create their own shot. J.R. Smith can create his own shot. It may not be the most high-end shot.
He wants to shoot contested shots.
Just hear me out. J.R. Smith gets the separation he needs. He likes shooting contested shots over open ones anyway. Everybody knows that. Jordan Clarkson was brought in his youth. He was a young go-getter that should be able to go out there and get his own shot, as well as Rodney Hood just showed. yet none of these guys play the same once they come here to Cleveland. And that's weird to me. The system has not changed at all. LeBron has never had a floor general, a true point guard. He's never had a real coach, nor a real rim protector or center in the middle. And no, I'm not making excuses. I'm just making facts. I'm not saying LeBron James needs help. Everybody needs help. I'm saying management has to do better with constructing teams. This team actually made it to the Eastern Conference Finals and to the NBA Finals. And when I look at LeBron James and K-Love, I see a bunch of streaky shooters. Tristan Thompson is not a real big man, even though he rebounds the hell out of the ball and brings tremendous energy and hustle. And a bunch of guys who just look nervous and scared out there on that court. Kyle Korver is just in a slump. And the Golden State Warriors are looking at him like dinner. And guess what? They've been eating every night. Even on a bad night like how they had, one person, Kevin Durant, just carried them. He pretty much carried them. But in the moment, when he needed them, they hit the shot and they did their job. They defended, they hit the shots that mattered, and they let him take care of the rest. If the Cleveland Cavaliers could match that or do half of that, they would have won this game. Easy peasy. I mean, when they came out, they played a great first half of basketball. The Warriors were just able to withstand that and cut the lead to 2 going into halftime and build momentum. The Cavaliers let that happen. Poor defense. Turnovers in the first half that shouldn't have happened. LeBron James being too passive. You have to go out there and set the tone for these guys. You go out there and you get your points. Yes, we know LeBron James likes to worry about his teammates. Well, I have to get the team going. It's a team game, a team sport. Yes, I understand that, but you're down 2-0 coming home in the NBA Finals. Put your foot on the gas and their neck at the same time. You got to set the tone. Get your points now. Make them step up. You're going off. They're wide open for a 2 or a 3, maybe a dump off or an easy lay-in or a dunk, getting to the free throw line. Make them pay. If they say, hey, we're going to let you get whatever you want and shut your team down, make them guard you. Make them double. They'll double-team you in an instant. Kevin Durant was not double-teamed one time last night, Aaron. One time. Instead, I get switch-offs and seeing Rodney Hood, George Hill, and Jeff Green get murderized from the post. Hand in the face, Kevin Love, Larry Nance, don't matter. Hand down, man down. Hand in the face, don't care. Great D, better offense. Jeff Van Gundy even said 3 times, 4 to 5 times maybe, while we were broadcasting, I'm not letting him get that shot. He pretty much just walked the ball up the court, passed the ball around, walked to his sweet spot, and he hit every time. Every time. You cannot defend that. So we're just going to give LeBron James the ball, and everybody want to know why he's so gassed and why he's so tired. He has help. They're just not using it. Tyronn Lue is not coaching the way he should be coaching. This team was not constructed the right way. You got to get away from that old shit, man. LeBron James either needs a real point guard, he needs to play off the ball, or he has to stay true to his bully ball and set the tone. You might just have to do it by yourself. Right. The criticism that his teammates is getting, the criticism that the coaching staff is getting, it's all deserved.
My take on this is it ain't simple as black and white, because what y'all failing to realize, JaVale McGee, Jordan Bell, Sean Livingston, and Iguodala are making no mistakes. They playing with a high IQ and they playing with discipline. Cleveland doesn't have that. Okay, you can double Durant a little bit. Hey, let me finish. You could double Durant a little bit. But them guys not going to be off all the time. That's the thing about the Cavs. They not hitting their shots. They had a bad night last night, but that's going to probably be the last bad night they have. You can't really double them guys. You can't really double them guys. You couldn't double them guys before Durant came. Like, I just sent you the Jordan Clarkson thing. He has had ample amounts of opportunity in this whole playoffs, and he doesn't utilize them, man. The Cavs are trash, period. The only people I trust is Kevin Love. Ronnie Hood gets a gold star for last game, but this has to keep continuing. Well, not keep continuing. Tomorrow is do or die. So it's like, we got to see this come to fruition. Well, wait, let me finish. Well, LeBron, it's not simple. It's not like he's going against Boston or the Pacers or Toronto. When he's up top, icing on whoever he's icing on or coming downhill on that pick and roll, he got eight hands coming at him. And this is before Iguodala got back. It's not simple. You can't really just put his foot to the pedal when they're waiting on him. They know the game plan. And like you say, when they do know the game plan, that's when you kick it out. But when he kick it out, they not hitting no more. Like you said, it's a dead game plan, but there's nowhere to switch up. You can't pull a playmaker out of the crowd.
It's the same stagnant offense that's ran, and the defense doesn't help it at
all. Yeah, but that's not going to change, though. Only time you can change a stagnant offense is with a better coach and better personnel. That's next season. This series, ain't nothing going to change. They got to pray they can win this game tomorrow. Ain't nobody about to come in that door and play no different than what they is. Period.
He has to go off as he always does, and they just have to start hitting their shots. That's the only thing that
happens.
And even then, you think that they can do that for four games straight?
Oh, no.
So whether it's not a sweep and the Cavs win tomorrow, by the way, the game does come on same time, 9 o'clock, home of the finals on ABC. But if these guys do win tomorrow's game, it's the same situation as last year. It's 4-1, Warriors go home to close out. You telling me that you can win tomorrow, go back to Golden State, win, bring it back home to Cleveland and force a game seven? I mean, of course, you know, the NBA wants to make his money, Vegas wants to make his money, but you can't tell me they're sitting up here waiting to hit the Buffalo Wild Wing button and just say, oh, yeah, they can do that. Let's make our money. Let's make some bets on this. You know what I'm saying? This is one of the greatest teams constructed over there in Golden State. And the series is not even over yet, and they're telling me about former players with both pros and cons of playing with LeBron James. Stephen A. Smith has given out his free agent list, who he expects him to talk to or what he's been told. The criticism still comes. Well, that's another final loss for LeBron James, the criticism to his teammates, which half of them probably won't even be there next year. Who knows what's going to happen with the coaching personnel, Ty Lue, Larry Drew, and the rest of those guys, like GM Kobe Altman, what he's going to do, how he's going to draft, who he's going to try to bring there in free agency. The biggest question to me is it really possibly true that nobody wants to play with LeBron James? It's too big of a hassle. The system that they run, that he runs in Cleveland, is just not something they're looking to thrive for. I know they got Kevin Love through trade via Andrew Wiggins. Kyrie Irving has left. Had a chance to get Paul George, Jimmy Butler. You have a chance to get Kawhi Leonard. No other stars, like potential stars, have really expressed, you know, playing with LeBron James. I thought at first maybe it's because of contracts, it's because of money. And, yes, that plays a part into it. But is it really that bad to play against LeBron James, to watch him just take over and you be his wingman?
All right. Well, I got 2 points on that. First point is Kyrie Irving had the highest usage rate on Cleveland the last 2 years. Kyrie Irving got the ball in the clutch, and it worked. It worked perfectly. We still won't know the exact story of why he left. He can sugarcoat it all he wants. We won't ever know until he later revealed. That's my first point. We saw it work with another superstar that can actually make his own plays. That can actually have an arsenal of moves that can get to the bucket and, you know, pass a little bit when he needed to. My second point is, I don't care what those other stars want because they're at home. They're always at home. It's always going to be the Warriors and LeBron. So they can put out all those stories all they want. It don't matter. They're losers. They're not going to make it. Whether they got a team over LeBron to make it. That's my point on that, because it's the same thing that went on with Kobe. But, again, Kobe made Gasol a star. He had Andrew Bynum going crazy for 3 years. He turned Lamar Odom into a sixth man. It's like different leaders do different things. It's a different climate. And it's like either you adapt or you just make your checks and you sit at home in April. You sit at home in May. You don't go to June. It's like, what do you want? Y'all can throw all them stories out all y'all want. The reason Jordan Clarkson did what he did in L.A. is because he doesn't plan for nothing. And he can play free as he wants. But then when he get here, They said Rodney Hood said it himself. Rodney Hood, he ain't no anonymous. He said it out his mouth. I had to get used to playing with him. I had to get used to the big lights. It was different. That's why he said out his own mouth. Mo Williams can tell you LeBron got me a check. He got me an all-star bid. Christian Thompson can tell you he made his family better. J.R. can tell you. James Jones can tell you. Damon Jones can tell you. Dante Jones can tell you. I can count off 25 people LeBron done either made better, made a life for them, and they can vouch for that, man. To me, again, he's doing what he can do. It's not his fault that he doesn't have a Popovich or a Brad Stevens or a Phil Jackson or even a Steve Kerr that didn't pick Popovich brain, Jordan brain, all that. It is what it is. Kyrie broke the structure. This team was set up to succeed for a couple more years and to grab pieces here and there. But once he took Kyrie, once he got the bad hit man that wanted the Brinks truck, once D-Rose wanted to go home and have a baby, everything changed. They win 7 games with the Pacers. They win 7 games with Boston. They do not supposed to be here. It is what it is. This team is stacked, man, from top to bottom. I just named off them 4 bench players. They 9 deep. 9 deep. That's without. That's if McGill want to show up and play. That's if David West want to show up and play. That's if Looney want to show up and play. Because they are. They doing the little things. They not flashy and super fadeaway threes like they are. Or they not out there 20-10 like Kevin Love. But the thing is, they do their job. You don't have to worry about them having an off night because you got the other 4 starters that I didn't name that's going to go off when they feel like it. They're a team. They swing the ball side to side. That pick and roll when you're trying to come up and double those shooters is wide open for a dunk for JaVale McGee, Sean Livingston, and Jordan Bell, who come out the game shooting 6-for-6. They just outmatched, man. Even the Cleveland played perfect down to the wire like they did in game 1. You one slip up from being away, man. That's how I see it, man. Cleveland should be looking towards, not even Cleveland. LeBron should be looking towards the summertime because I don't know how they're going to, I don't see how this ship is going to get right. If I'm Dan Gilbert, I'm not putting all my chips on no guy with 1 foot out the door. Not again.
All facts, my brother. Spoken well and true. But it seems like the NBA Finals is coming to a predictable end. Golden State Warriors holding this commanding 3-0 lead against the Cavaliers. And to add insult to injury, the Slim Reaper himself, Kevin Durant, actually drained a 3 that seemed like the dagger to me. Maybe it was Stephen Curry's dagger 3, but the 3, the dagger that he drained was from the same exact spot, Aaron, that he pulled up from last year. And that's just insult to injury. So when people ask me, do you think the Cavs will be the first team to come back from 3-0 and win the title? Not with this team. I would bet on the sweep. Maybe a gentleman's sweep to show some type of pride or dignity, at least get a game. But a sweep in the NBA Finals, this will be the second time LeBron James has been swept in the NBA Finals. And that's frustrating.
It's frustrating.
I didn't bring up his teammates for the fact to, you know, rag on them or to say what everybody else already knows, that he needs more help. It's a simple fact that if he gets help, they have to utilize it. They can't just put it all on LeBron James back here. This is what we got. Run with it. You know what I'm saying? Is it worth playing with LeBron James? Of course it is. You just named multiple reasons why it's worth trip to the finals just about every year. Not guaranteed, but it's the best player in the world you're playing at the Eastern Conference. He gets you money, get your contracts, endorsements, etc. And is it really worth it? No. When you win, you were supposed to. When you lose, you get criticized. You don't show up. Your style of play changes. The system is not fit or built for multiple players. It's built for LeBron James, and if another player, it would be Kevin Love before anybody else. If you're not hitting your shots, you're not playing good defense, you fall out of rotation. So it's a yes and no thing when it comes to playing with the Cleveland Cavaliers. If LeBron James, let's say he does leave in free agency, because Devontae and a couple other guys think that he's either going to leave, stay and tough it out, or he's going to retire. I don't see him retiring. I'm not completely sold that he stays, yet I'm not completely sold that he's going to leave. But if he leaves, what team could LeBron James, at his age, thrive on and actually do damage in the playoffs and the NBA Finals to win another chip?
See, I'm not ready to have that conversation because there's too many guys that's free agents that might get added to, with him to go package on another team. I don't see Philly. That's the thing with Philly. That team with Embiid, Simmons, and LeBron, that's not a set team. They're going to get shooters surrounding them. So we can hypothetically say
Philly.
I don't
like that idea for the longest, and people keep throwing it at me. First of all, if LeBron James was to go to Philly, yes, you have a Joel Embiid who played his first healthy season, and really it really wasn't healthy. You know what I'm saying? You don't know how far his health is going to go. Second of all, Ben Simmons has to develop some type of a shot, a jump shot. Yes, he can come off the ball playing with Simmons and T.J. McConnell over there, but it would be the same situation, especially when these guys are not hitting their shots. I can't see the whole Philly thing. Yes, it's youth. Yes, it's potential. He might even stunt these boys' growth, or he might teach them more than anybody else could be able to teach them of the game. I'm really not sold on Philly. You say Houston, now I got to hear about him cramping up, or it's not going to work because CP3 is always injured. James Harden demands the ball. LeBron James can't play off the ball. The ball has to be in his hand. It's always something. It's always negative, I should say. Not any good that comes out of it.
They're going to have to try something, man, because, again, they got here by the skin of their teeth. And if he doesn't go somewhere, and if LeBron getting plugged in on one of these Eastern Conference teams, it's going to be Paul George, it's going to be Boogie, it's going to be whoever else is free out here. Gasol and them might get moved. Anything. So it's like you better get in where you fit in, or you damn sure won't make it next year. You damn sure won't make it next year.
Most of these guys are about their money, and some of these guys will have to take a pay cut. And two of the guys I know for sure is not looking forward to take a pay cut. They're looking for the bag. With that being said, if he stays in Cleveland and tough it out, they're going to have to start from scratch. If your name is not LeBron James or Kevin Love, you're pretty much scrapped. You can go ahead and keep Tristan Thompson, a horrible contract. You can keep JR if you want to, just out of familiarity of playing with LeBron and Kevin Love. Maybe Kyle Korver. But the rest of these guys are scrapped. And on top of that, you have to get younger. These guys are old.
These guys are old. Yeah.
Devontae actually been saying that since the end of the year. This is a very old roster. Before the shakeup, after the shakeup, the only young players you really have on here is Clarkson, Nance, Zizic, and Hood.
Yeah. And like Can I said, add one more thing?
Probably get the bulk of all those minutes. Go ahead.
The one thing that I want to add, man, because we keep acting like I don't care what this roster play like or who they had, man. We're forgetting that even with Kyrie Irving, they got 4-1 by this team last year. That's why it's crazy to think that y'all thinking little tweaks and little ads and all that is going to make a difference against this Warriors team. They play possum with everybody. They're going to play possum tomorrow, too. They're going to give the Cavs a chance to squeeze in there and get this game. And it's up to them to take the advantage. These guys are so good that they don't even play to their full potential until they have to, whether it be a third quarter or whether it be those dagger shots last night. The Warriors play on their own time. The Cavs were like, you know, I don't see it changing, man. The Cavs, when they did that 3-1, that could have been the start of the dynasty, man. Until the phone call in the parking lot ruined all that. I don't see nothing changing unless LeBron team up with two other stars next year, man. You said what?
I said two phone calls, actually. The call to KD and the call Kyrie got.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So we going to see. I mean, as my guy,
add-ons are not going to help much unless the team is constructed the right way. Even with that being said, the Golden State Warriors are just probably the best team in basketball. Ever. Kevin Durant, Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green. They draft pretty deep. Guys in the stars, guys who come in and know their role and do their job. I'm not going to say they turn into stars, but they know their role, they do their job. They got good veterans on their team that's been through the ringer like Iguodala, Wes, and Livingston. Everybody knows their role. They do their job. They bring these young players in here. They feed them the information. They show them how it's done. They feed into the system, and they play just as well as the stars do. And they don't really have much effort. You've seen last night, Stephen Curry, Klay Thompson only had to score 10 points. Two of the best shooters in the league only had to put up 10. Kevin Durant carried the bulk, and your role players gave you 8, 9, 10, 11 apiece off the bench just to keep it going, to hold the lead while your stars get rest. And LeBron James gets, what, a 5-minute rest, 2 minutes at the end of each quarter? You know what I'm saying? Lead it up until the fourth.
20 seconds. He played 47 minutes last night. I was watching.
20 seconds.
But the thing with Bron, not with Bron, the thing I want to ask you about the NBA, it's kind of on topic, but it's kind of not. Besides LeBron, KD, Steph, Anthony Davis, I can't say Anthony Davis. I can put him a little bit in there. Who do you think are superstars that can actually catapult their team to a finals?
As far as I've seen these last 4 years, you just named them.
Yeah.
Just
so that, let me piggyback off of that. So why are people surprised that this Warriors team is doing what they're doing? Because it's like, even if LeBron was to go team up with somebody, who would it be? You got Kawhi, but we don't know what his psyche is right now, or his health, because everything's a mystery. Anthony Davis is just a damn man child, so you think it's just his ability would carry him over. But Harden, you know, he did it again. He wet the bed again. Paul was missing, of course, but it's like he got you there, scored 40 in that first quarter. You would think the MVP would be able to lift his team a little bit, but that didn't happen. That's not here or there. You can't knock him because, again, the Warriors team, it's cold. But then you got Westbrook, you know, he's not going to do it. Then, you know, you got the young boys. The young boys in Minnesota, everybody was sold on. You said what?
I said, well, here's the implosion. You ask who he needs to team up with. The question is unknown. Kawhi Leonard, we don't even know if he's going to be a San Antonio Spur next year. I would hope that they hold on to him before they trade him, seeing as how he doesn't want to be there anymore. Anthony Davis, his athletic ability, his talent all relies on his health. And he gets injured just about every year. Maybe it's minor, maybe it's, you know, season ending. Talk about Russell Westbrook, who just goes retarded dumb, but sometimes more than others is used against him instead of for him. James Harden holds clutch situation. Chris Paul always injured in the playoffs, the whole curse of Houston. I don't know how that plays off. Timberwolves, too young, not ready. You look over at the East, I don't see him joining Boston. Going to Philadelphia just doesn't seem like a good fit to me, even though that's what everybody's calling for. I don't understand. But I will say this, with a healthy Chris Paul, the Houston Rockets should be in the finals. As far as having a healthy Kyrie and Gordon Hayward, maybe we don't see the Cavaliers. Maybe they fall in the Eastern Conference Finals. A lot of people have them falling in the second round against Toronto, who clearly was the better team, but their psyche against LeBron James is, like, retarded. And the Indiana Pacers even push you guys to 7 games. Like, you ask who he should team up with, I don't have the answer. He can't even win with what he has.
Yeah, it was like a hypothetical. It was like a hypothetical thing.
Piggyback out for what you said. He had Kyrie Irving, and they still lost 4-1 in the finals. Kyrie Irving and Kevin.
Yeah, that's my point. That was my point.
D. Wade, Isaiah Thomas, you trade Kyrie Irving, which is baffling to me, to get an injured Isaiah Thomas, who's not going to come back at 100%, who's not going to fit well into this system because it revolves around you. You can't play off the ball. You get D. Wade, can't rekindle that flame that you had in Miami. No Chris Bosh. Even though they should have kept Wade, they didn't. Derrick Rose is a shell of him old self. Jay Crowder was so happy to get out of there to go to Jazz, and look at the Utah Jazz. They don't have LeBron James. They have a rookie, a squad, a goal. That's a put-together team over there. I don't know what they're going to be looking like next season, what upgrades they look to make, but that's the squad over there. Jay Crowder fits perfectly. He's doing exactly what he was doing in Boston. He's defending well. He's shooting well. He's having fun. Nobody was having fun on this Cleveland Cavaliers team. They were arguing. Too many egos. Too many people want to be the guy. So you break hold, you break the team up once again in another trade for Nanza, and it doesn't make it any better. Yes, it gets you younger. Yes, it gives you more shooters and options. When those options don't work and those shooters are not hitting, what does it prove at the end of the day? You getting your ass kicked. With this team, they shouldn't be here, but they are. Now, I just have to sit up here and watch a massacre and just hope and believe that these guys can somehow get a miracle and win four games, or at least one for that matter, if we're going to be realistic. You're going to get swept
That's
on your
facts.
Home. You're going to get
can
swept
I ask
on
you,
your
do you
home.
Think, you think Boston and Toronto would have did better, or Indiana?
Healthy, yes. I don't know about Indiana. Toronto, that was a team that everybody had coming out the East at the beginning of the year. And when
I'm talking about
started.
The people
yeah.
that we saw play this playoffs. I'm not talking about injured people. No, I'm talking about what that Boston they just played.
Oh, no.
Not with Kyrie and Gordon. I'm talking about the people that was here. Or even Philly or Bucks.
Brad Stevens, you know what I can say about those Boston Celtics? No Kyrie Irving, no Gordon Hayward. Brad Stevens is a goddamn coach. He uses his mind and what he had. That's why they got to the Eastern Conference Final. Even when they were counted out just because Kyrie Irving was shut down, just because they didn't have Gordon Hayward, he proved everybody wrong. He took what he had, a rookie in Tatum, a second-year player in Jaylen Brown, the grit and the heart of Marcus Morris. He believed in Terry Rozier and Shane Larkin. He worked with what he had, Al Horford, championship experience, veteran experience. He took that, he ran with it, and he made teams pay. All right, the Milwaukee Bucks were a shell of themselves after they fired Jason Kidd. I told them they could get embarrassed in the first round, and they were not healthy. Jabari Parker was a shell of himself, still wasn't 100%, had to get his legs under him. They just got Brogdon back. Eric Bledsoe was probably a good trade. You freeze out Matthew Dellavedova. Greg Monroe is now a Celtic. Bench is looking pretty thin. Thon Maker and a couple other guys not getting their shine. Chris Middleton not hitting his shots, even though he's the second-best player on the team, according to the stats. Giannis couldn't do it by himself. The Boston Celtics take care of Milwaukee. Let's go to the next round. Who did they have in the next round, Aaron? Was it the process? It was the process. That's right. The so-called next big thing in the East wasn't ready. Them getting their feet wet this year is exactly what they needed. They proved the potential that they have. They also showed everybody their flaws. Too young. Bad shot selections. Not enough leadership. Ben Simmons, projected rookie of the year candidate, or whatever you want to call him, can't even hit a shot. Folks just got back healthy and back to doing what he's been doing. And he was a pretty good damn college player. Trust the process next year after that, or whatever, because it wasn't working this year. Brad Stevens had a game plan, a brilliant basketball mind, even when he was coaching college at Butler. So I think, yes, we would have saw something different. If you put Boston in that game one situation, I'm pretty sure Boston pulls out that win.
But, hey, can we?
I think
can I
Boston
would have
been better. Maybe
need...
they would have. Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown ain't scared of the moment. Terry, nobody on that team is scared of the moment or questioning their role. They're going to go out there and they're going to ball. Ty Lue is going to not Ty Lue, but Brad Stevens is going to put something together, and those guys are going to run with it. He's going to continue to change his plays. He's not going to come out here with the same mentality, the same stagnant offense and defense, and get whaled on like that. That's where it comes down to coaching. That's why I'm so mad. That's where it comes down to.
See, now, listen.
You know what I'm changing my mind?
Saying,
I think Boston would be a little something better.
See, I'm not going to change my mind. You know why I don't think they would? I said it on this show before the series started. They can't score consistently. You can't name me in the last 5 years any team that scored 77 points in a game.
Okay, let me stop you right there.
Wait,
and I'm
just
going to say
Wait,
make it clear.
It's this terrible
thing. You said, do I think the Boston Celtics in the Cavaliers' position now, after we've already played game one, game two, game three, in those three games, I think Boston could have performed better. We know we don't have 30-point scorers on Boston, but they were a defensive team to start the season off from the get-go. And the way Golden State played in these first three games, best believe they could have capitalized and done something better.
Guaranteed.
They played possum against a weak ass Cavs defense.
They ain't played no possum. They got their ass. They was getting their ass handed to them in game one, and in game two, Cleveland had no answer. Game three, you can say they played possum in game three, but game one, they were holding their breath. And when JR made that mistake, that gave them a new win. When George Hill missed that free throw and JR ran that clock out, that gave them a new win. We know what LeBron James did. That's why it shouldn't have been a loss.
On the Celtics.
That's why it shouldn't have been a loss.
I know that. But I'm
I
talking about
one single
Boston
person is
going to
score 50 points, 51 points on the Celtics. You can have two or three people combine for 50 or 60 points. No problem. We know why
they
LeBron James put up 51 points. Because he had to. He had to put up 51 points. With the Celtics, you don't
all
need one person to put up 51 points. We keep saying we don't have a 30-point score, but do that one person need 30 points? Well, you got Tatum pouring in 27. You got Brown putting up 20. You got Horford putting up 20. You got Rozier putting up 17, 13. No, I don't need one person to score 51 points. They're a defensive team. They're going to get their buckets. They're going to get the stops that they need to get. And the way Golden State played in that first game, they wasn't hitting all the shots that they normally hit. And that was with mediocre defense. Think when somebody's breathing down your neck, though. I'm pretty sure KD is going to get double teamed. Rotations are going to be met. There will be no – I don't even know how many missed blown coverages Cleveland had. This is a younger, disciplined, hungrier team with a good coach. I know they don't have Kyrie Irving, Gordon Hayward, and hell, they're probably sitting in the same position. They might be down 2-1. It might be tied 1-1. I don't know. But you asked me, out of these three games, do you think the Boston Celtics could have done better? And I'm going to say yes.
I believe you. I hear you. That's your opinion. My opinion has always been like this when we compare teams. If they can do that and you think they would have been better, then they should have handled their business against Cleveland with home court advantage. There's no way Mr. Scary Terry should have been 0-10 on threes. He shouldn't have been jacking up two dumb shots, and they should have scored more than 77 points. And they should have sent home my guy that doesn't deserve to be there and that defense that doesn't deserve to be there. And Brad Stevens' magical mind should have made it happen in game seven. That's all I'm saying. I don't like what it could have because that guy, not Teddy Rozier, is running around doing the media run saying they'd be better.
I think they could have did better. Obviously, I think they could have did better. They might be in the finals. They could have been.
That's cool with me. I like Brad Stevens. I agree with you on all that front, but this might not even be the same Boston team we see, man, because they out for the grab. They want the talent, whether it's Kawhi, Anthony Davis, the African kid that in college is the number five
player. Mark Gasol. This team is fine just the way it is if they get Kyrie Irving.
Oh, I know it is. Oh, get out of here. There's too many rumors. I'm not saying they're not fine and they need them people. I'm saying Danny Ainge ain't never seen a good trade he didn't like. Jaylen Brown's going to be gone if they want that five pick. That's out of the question.
That's
and they won't
mistake.
Tatum, too. And
but
if they do Tatum, they really want to.
We're going to talk about Danny Ainge. You know what's funny about him not seeing a trade he didn't like? It always seems to work out in the end, though, doesn't it?
Hey, my man's in the finals. They're not. I don't know about working out. So it's like, yeah, it works out on paper, but if that man's knees start looking like Derrick Rose's knees, then who did it really work out for?
Oh, it didn't
it
work
remains
out
to be seen.
That they got brought there, it didn't work out this season. That's why. The players that he had this whole vision for did not play. They're injured. And there's nothing we can do about it. I know our man is in the finals. I'm saying, you saying, did it really work out? Well, we really won't know until next season, then. Now, will we?
That's what I was saying. Yeah, that's what I was saying. But we might not even see that team that they got the trades this season if they trying to do all this stuff with the draft picks and all these other big names. And Marcus Smart won $20 million. And Teddy Rozier up for a raise next year. But we going to see.
I get up into who going to get overpaid, who going to be there, who not going to be there. Like you said, I can't even speak on it. I just wait. But with that being said, bringing up the NBA draft, it is right around the corner and could be coming a lot earlier than expected, seeing as how this NBA Finals might just be ended short. I don't even care if it does go to Game 5. I'm sick. I'm hurting. Twisted. Get to hear what Devontae has to say about it tomorrow. And all he was blabbing about yesterday that made me more pissed was about how LeBron James cost him a bet. Damn about the bet. They're down 3-0. Yeah. You should have known better. With this team,
it is,
you should have known better. I wonder why. You got a 43-point MVP slaying over here. Three All-Stars playing mediocrely bad. And bench players getting points they shouldn't have. I wonder why. Like, that doesn't seem like a good bet to take. Warriors and Cavs. Oh, the Cavs are at home. We're 8-1. All them stats meant nothing. With that being said, the NBA draft is coming up. It is one of my favorite times around this year. I get to see some of the hot young prospects coming out, what teams they fall on, how does it fit together. And, of course, moves will be made by various teams to get a draft pick on their team. Of course, I'm looking at my Pistons and what the Cavaliers are doing as long as LeBron James is there. Really don't know who's going to go number one. I know A-time. Will the Phoenix Suns hold on to that number one pick? I have no idea. With that being said, I have to switch gears and come back to basketball, seeing as how we have hit that mark. I'm going to switch over to baseball to give all you baseball fans out there a recap of yesterday's games, as well as a look at today's action. My Pirates did beat the Dodgers 11-9. Red Sox take care of the Tigers, out 7-1. Shout out to my Tigers. A pretty okay season for us. Our Rockies beat the Reds 6-3. Pretty good. Let's go back. Nationals spanked the Rays. Yeah, they spanked the Rays 11-2. Orioles just do beat the Mets, surviving them 1-0. Devontae's Indians beat the Brewers 3-1. Padres beat the Braves. Another one. Wow, Padres 3-1. How about that? Giants outlast the Diamondbacks 5-4. Yankees shut out the Blue Jays 3-0. Cubs beat the Phillies 7-5. Rangers beat the Athletics 8-3. Stop that. What is this? Okay, White Sox beat the Twins 5-2. Mariners beat the Astros. Oh, Astros beat the Mariners 7-5. Marlins beat the Cardinals 11-2. And the Angels beat the Royals 4-2. Going on to today's game, the Tigers are up heavy on the Red Sox 5-2. Second one, get a win. Dodgers beat my Pirates by 1-8-7. That sucks. The Reds did hold on to beat my Rockies. Both my teams lose today, 7-5. Top of the third, Orioles and Blue Jays tied at 1. Rays are going at it. Second, Mariners are up by 1. White Sox 7-2. Cardinals beat the Marlins 4-1. Cubs beat the Phillies 4-3. And your late night games, you have Astros and Rangers coming on at 8:05, and Royals and Athletics coming on at 10:05. Oh, I'm going to go ahead and go with the Tigers to finish off the Red Sox. Orioles will hold on to beat the Blue Jays. Mariners beating the Rays. And later on tonight, I'm going to roll with the Astros and Athletics. Switching gears once again, because this could be the final game of the NHL playoffs, my Washington Capitals versus the Las Vegas Golden Knights. Will the Capitals close out? Can I finally exhale my breath and start hooping and hollering? The curse is broken. Washington, the cup is hoisted. Alan Ovechkin gets the credit he deserves, and I can rub it in Devontae's face tomorrow. Flaunt it. Immediately after the show on NBC. Make sure you tune in to catch that for all your hockey fans. You'll hear more about that from me tomorrow. And, of course, Devontae is going to hop into his baseball. But right back into this NBA thing. Now, tomorrow the Warriors and the Cavaliers square off at 9 o'clock on ABC. And I'm going to sit there and watch it. I said I wasn't, but I'm going to sit there and watch it. If it's a sweep, it's a sweep. It's a sweep. They win one, hooray, 3 more to go. I just don't see it happening. Are you watching the game tomorrow, Aaron?
I doubt it. I might be asleep. If I'm up, I'll watch it. But my prediction is Warriors by 25. Steph Curry has an amazing game, so they're going to foresee him that Finals MVP.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you. That was going to be my second question. Did Durant last night steal the MVP from Stephen Curry?
Nope, because the Warriors want him to have one, and the NBA want him to finally have one because he hasn't had one yet. And if he and if Durant's going to be on his team for the remainder of their careers, they want to have it some type of balanced way. It don't look like Durant took over the team. I think he's going to have a big game tomorrow, and they're going to close him out by at least 2025. That's what I think. If they win tomorrow, it would be because the Warriors just didn't care. They want to win on their own court. That's how I see it. I see Steph Curry going off tomorrow. I see them running all types of screens and misdirections and all that to get him open and get him hot.
How much criticism does LeBron James take for yet another finals loss? How much criticism does the team take? And will they immediately hop into him just leaving Cleveland?
I'm not going to give him none because I'm not going to give the Pacers any criticism for losing to Cleveland. I'm not going to give Toronto any criticism for losing to LeBron. I'm not going to give Boston any criticism for losing. Even though Pacers, all those people outperformed the Cavaliers in the regular season and got home court advantage. Same thing with the Warriors. They should be graded different. And then I always go back to, do y'all want him to lose at home? I mean, in the first round. I mean, I don't know. I mean, what we can criticize?
It's
what it is, man.
<He sucks>.
Well, I'm ready for all that because it's all I'm hearing in the off season. I'm of course going to be watching him if he's actually going to go ahead and re-sign with Cleveland, which I don't anything at this moment.
Yeah. It doesn't bother me. So if they would have beat the Warriors, then it would have been the rest, you know. Or he still got a losing record. He's still not better than Jordan. He's still not better than Kobe. So there's no winning with nobody.
It really is. And whether it's excuses defending him or the reason little him.
Yeah.
Like the refs open live to NBA Twitter where they're answering live fans' questions. It's actually pretty hilarious. You should check it out. Maybe get into it with a ref. They're not going to care. They're not going to ban you. But we'll be watching the LeBron watch. I do think his style of championship basketball is not better anymore in this era. He's on a very good constructed team on the Warriors, whatever team he runs in plenty. Yep. Just spit. The bully ball is not going to work anymore. Not helping or hitting when they should. I don't think he should retire. I don't.
That's not going to happen. I don't know where everybody getting that from. That's not
matter of fact. He's still a three-time champion. He still made it to the finals 8 straight times. He's still broken just about mostly all the records. Matter of fact is, this does not taint his legacy in my eyes. If anything, it just shows a very good, hard-fought battle, especially being one of the most criticized athletes in sports today. With that being said, you got anything else to say, Aaron? 5 minutes, yours.
I really don't have nothing else to say, man. I'm waiting for this to be over where we get into these off-season transactions, man. That's what I'm waiting on. I'm waiting on this 2K19 to come out on September 7th. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, LeBron James is a cover athlete. That's the only reason why I'm buying it. I wasn't going to buy it, by the way. I don't know if anybody
wants
it. Me and Durrell.
Yeah, disclaimer.
And you know what? I think Durrell was right. The NFL is more unpredictable than the NBA. And the NBA draft and offseason has become one of my favorite times of the year for the NBA season.
Yeah.
You know. But, yeah, the NFL is way more predictable. I can't wait for fantasy football. Can you imagine if the NBA was kind of like the NFL, not just the whole 16 games thing? I'm just thinking, you know, in the playoff-wise, or if we said it was March Madness, Cavaliers would have lost to Indiana.
Yep. Boston, too.
Mm-hmm.
just makes you think, don't it?
I mean, yeah, but they're not the only ones. See, I don't like doing that. We can't put Cavaliers in every scenario because, I mean, any team can lose on any night, you know?
That's, I'm not putting just the Cavaliers
in just any scenario. And just like we can't make it about this. If LeBron losing this finals, he can't be the only failure this year. What about the other 28 players? I mean, 28 teams.
A whole year, though.
Yeah. All right, let's say the playoffs. You know what I mean. I'm saying, though. You know?
And they still
they not winning either, man.
It's thrown together in the middle of the year, what, a month and a half out of the playoffs? Whatever. Like I said, I can't defend.
Well, you know me. You know me. I've been betting with LeBron before the season started that he was going to the finals, and I never wavered. I don't care what problems went on. I never wavered because I don't trust none of these teams. Like, everybody was a Giannis, he's a new king, and B, the process, John Wall and Bradley Beal, we tired of the Cavs ducking us, and where they at, man? Every time, where are they at?
Home, watching the finals and tweeting, throwing shade.
Same thing with everybody's MVP, where is he at?
LeBron James took a jab at the Portland Blazers earlier today, saying everybody knew Kevin Durant was born for greatness except Portland, seeing as how they took great Odin over him. And the only two NBA players that actually didn't throw shade and actually put some knowledge out there going for LeBron James was Sean Marion and Iman Shumpert, two former teammates, I should say.
Hey.
LeBron, but you didn't like the KD statement. Why not?
Because I'm pretty sure LeBron was sitting at home with his Greg Oden Ohio State jersey in that time, and I'm pretty sure he would have vouched for his Ohio State guy in that moment, just like everybody else. Just like right now, we're talking about the guy from Arizona. How you pronounce his last name? Aiton? Yeah, we're talking about him. We're talking about the guy that Boston is trying to get. The fast guy.
That for the simple fact, I'm the only one who realized this guy had 4 microsurgeries before he came out of college. I can't be the only one who thought that. Hell yes, I'm taking Kevin Durant.
Yeah, but
come on, man. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Of course he's going to have Ohio State jersey. He's from Ohio. Of course he's going to root for the home team.
I know.
Hey, Odin was there for the player.
I don't want to hear it now. That's what I'm saying.
You don't have to hear it now. He just said that just to take a jab and give kudos to his man. I still don't think he passed the torch. Tell me I passed the torch to you. You're playing with 3 All-Stars. A team built to defeat the little me.
He made him cry to his mama. I'm not going to ever forget that.
That's all I have to say about that. We ain't passing no torch.
Nah.
Guys, you all tuned in and enjoyed the show. I'm Troy Granville. That's Aaron Stevens. I hope you guys tune in and enjoy the game tomorrow as well. I know I won't, but I'm also going to watch it. Of course, underline. That's the show.
Gang. Gang, gang.